Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 198 of the It's Obvious podcast. My name is Garrett Drake, and I'm joined across the internet by Jacob Alka. Once again, only Jacob. Preston is missing in action. He is busier than I think he's ever been in his life recently, and we miss him to bits. But Jacob, it's good to be hearing your voice once again, my friend. How are you?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me back on this prestigious podcast.
Oh, Jacob, well, thank you for having me, my friend. I'm glad we can both be here for each other in the midst of Preston's absence. You comfort me, both mentally, physically, and sexually. So those soothing tones of your sultry voice, Jacob, just really get me rowdy and prepared to talk about video games primarily. But
you think I have a sultry voice?
You should know, yeah.
Listen to yourself, my dude.
Sound
like butter.
Like butter, baby. Oh, what was I going to say? Video games. Did you play any this week?
I did play some games this week. How about you?
Did not, as usual, unfortunately.
Well, I did.
But I can say that in case you, I'm sure by now you've noticed, but I was indeed in England for the Sea of Thieves anniversary update media event.
Oh.
And I played Sea of Thieves for a few hours.
And how did
at Rare Studio, which is a really cool experience. I guess we can talk about Rare Studio a bit because that was probably the coolest part of the experience, but... for those that don't know, Rare is located in Twycross, England, which is, I believe, northwest of Birmingham, which is the main city I was staying in, about half an hour northwest of Birmingham. And it is literally in the middle of the English countryside, which was fascinating to me. It's in the middle of nowhere in this beautiful lake where they have this gigantic soccer field behind their studio. And the building itself is really beautiful. I actually have footage of it. I may turn it into like a little travel vlog-ish type thing when I have time, but... the studio is beautiful. It's just riddled with the history of their studio and all the games they developed. And there's like statues of all their most famous characters lining the road that leads through the front gates of their place. So that was kind of cool. And all the staff I met there was awesome. And it was kind of surreal, too, because prior to the event, just to get kind of familiar with the updates of Sea of Thieves that I hadn't been keeping up with, I went to their YouTube channel. And they have this really cool like pirate, like below a deck of a pirate ship set that they film all their updates and live streams on.
Yeah.
And I had just watched it like the night before going to their studio. So it was totally surreal to not only see it in person, but get to film an interview on that set too, which is really cool. I filmed Shelley Preston, who is the design director, and Joe Neat, who is the something. Can't remember. But I interviewed both of them regarding the anniversary update and kind of the updates that have been coming in the recent months since the game's release. And it was cool. Anniversary update is not enough to draw me back in as a player. I enjoyed Sea of Thieves for a short period of time, even prior to the game officially launching, because I actually reviewed that for COG and gave it a 7 out of 10 at the time, just because I thought the core concepts and ideas were really cool and the world itself was a lot of fun to sail around in for a few hours. But aside from that, I got pretty bored. But all the updates that they've released leading up to the anniversary update have been pretty cool, like the skeleton ships and the various megalodons and curse sails and like some of the different weather effects and everything are kind of cool. But anniversary update is probably the most impressive one they've had, with the inclusion of Tall Tales, which is 9 narrative-driven story quests in the game that are pretty much just playing the game as you've always played it, but they have characters that actually have dialogue and a bit of story behind their actions and their motivations, which is cool. And I only got to play the first of the 9 quests, but it's awesome because you go to a shipwreck in the middle of the ocean and dig up this thing called the Magpie's Log. Is the name of the crash ship is called the Magpie, I believe. You dig up the captain's log, and it's full of these cryptic clues that kind of lead you to and fro across the open world, digging up chests that have certain items that lead you to other islands. And then you wind up getting to an island that you have to solve a little environmental puzzle that opens this secret cave. And then inside there's another, not a relatively simple puzzle that you solve with your teammates. And then it unlocks another portal or doorway that gives you this key that leads into the next quest. So that was kind of cool. I mean, generic Sea of Thieves combat and ship sailing along the way, but
yeah, it sounds cool.
Cool that they've added a bit of a little more lore and narrative and dialogue to the game, which is kind of fun. In addition to that, sorry, I'm trying to collect my thoughts, Jacob. I'm not even gonna say what I usually say because it's unfathomable, but so I'm trying to focus. In addition to that, the arena is the competitive multiplayer side of the game they've added, where there's, I can't remember how many teams, I think there's like six teams of four players on their own individual pirate ships, and you sail around the open world collecting chests and then cashing them into different supply points around the chunk of the map that you're playing in. And you get points for doing that, you get points for attacking enemy ships, sinking enemy ships, killing other players, and that's pretty hectic and exciting to play, especially when you have that many people battling each other at once in a pretty condensed area.
Yeah.
But that's kind of cool, especially when you have a couple guys patching holes in your ship and the other two are up top of the deck yelling at each other to fire cannons and steer the ship and everything. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But pretty fun update. Like I said, not enough really for me to want to go back and actually play it consistently. But I think for players that have kept with it from the beginning or even had a significant amount of interest in it from the beginning, I think they'd really enjoy this update a lot. So overall, super fun experience talking to the folks there. They were all super passionate about what they do. And the studio was beautiful, and I thought that just where it was super cool, and just getting to play the game there was awesome. But probably the most surreal experience I had out of all of that is when we went into the recording studio where they record all of the music for the game.
Yeah.
And the music director was actually in the middle of mixing a new song for the anniversary update. And in the corner of the room, he had that stringed instrument that you can play in game that kind of plays all those different songs. And I didn't realize they had actually found like the actual instrument from those times. There'd only been like a couple hundred of them made back in the day.
Interesting.
And he played that jingle from the game that you probably heard 1,000 times. It goes, do, 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 do. He played that on the instrument right in front of us, which is amazing. But it was cool. I loved it. And that was the part of my UK trip I wasn't able to talk about last week, but that's what I did, and it was awesome. I wrote about my hands-on impressions on cogconnected.com. Those are out there if you're interested, and as well as posted the interview on their YouTube channel. So it was a ton of fun, man. And that's all I've played recently is Sea of Thieves, unfortunately. In addition to the 5 seconds I played of Sekiro last week that I talked about. But yeah, as far as video games are concerned, that's it for me, my friend.
Yeah, that's really cool. Seems like your trip over there was pretty unique. I really want to go see that studio now. So it's literally awesome. Like on a pond, like on a lake.
It is, yeah. And at first I thought the soccer field just happened to be there. And I was like, how often do you guys go out there and play? He's like, literally, we go out there and play every single day. And there was an actual team, two teams playing each other while we were having lunch, while we were there at the studio, which is
that's
cool.
So cool, man.
So, oh yeah, and dogs are welcome there too. There's a bunch of dogs running around.
Nice.
So
sounds like the perfect work environment.
It really was. It was awesome. It wasn't gigantic either. It was pretty, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but it wasn't huge by any means. It's pretty medium sized. I can't even, my brain isn't functioning today.
Yeah. Well, I guess I can talk about what I played a little bit. Played more Sekiro, been streaming that once again. It's a lot of fun, dude. I think I'm in the last playable area. I guess I won't spoil anything. I should never spoil anything. But, the game is just so good, man. I don't know. It's not as good as Bloodborne. I'm not going to give it that praise. But I think I like it more than Dark Souls. I enjoy sort of the mastery over the parrying system. And I actually took out a lot of bosses this week, so it felt really good. And I didn't spend too much time on any of them either, so it makes me feel like I'm getting better at the game. And it's funny, this last area, like, it's just so freaking pretty. Like, it is one of the best looking play spaces in a Souls game that I've seen, just in terms of its aesthetic. It's really nice. But I've been playing that. I'll probably finish it up this week, and we'll have some concluding thoughts on Sekiro on the next podcast. But also been playing more Apex Legends. Been playing a lot of Lifeline lately, really enjoying her healing. I'm trying to just level up to level 100 right now and just have that little mark that shows that you're level 100. Just trying to get better at the game, leveling up that battle pass, even though there's not a whole lot to grind for. Luckily, I just love playing the game so much that it just doesn't really matter. And I have faith that the team at Respawn will crank out some content for the game here pretty soon, because it kind of needs it. Just like comparing it to games like Fortnite that are just cranking out content every day, it seems like. Apex needs some help in that regard, but still a very fun game. And we're going to be talking about Respawn here probably pretty shortly, if I'm not wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think they've been working on a little something-something that we're both pretty excited about.
Oh yeah, to say the least.
But in terms of what I've played this week, that's it, man. Just keeping it basic with those two games over the last month, really.
Nice. Well, aside from that, how was your week overall? Anything exciting happen?
I went to see Captain Marvel last night.
Okay, what'd you think?
I liked it. For whatever reason, just hearing other people's thoughts on the movie kind of didn't have me too thrilled to go see it. I was only seeing it just because I needed to know like who she is and what she's doing in Endgame. But I actually walked out and I enjoyed the film. I thought it was pretty good. There were some twists that I didn't expect. And I mean, it didn't do anything in like anything crazy. You know, it was just another Marvel film. But that doesn't mean that's a bad film. I mean, it was a good time. It wasn't too long. And I killed a whole bag of popcorn.
So. Ooh.
And an ice cold Coke.
Man, after my own heart there, my friend. I could go for some corn myself.
Yeah, movie theater popcorn is one of the best things in life.
Oh, I agree, my friend. I may have some corn watching All Thrones tonight.
Yeah, dude. And what time does it come on?
Our time. 9 p.m.
9 p.m.
Eastern.
That's perfect, actually.
Yeah.
I'm going to get ready for bed early tonight. I'm going to lay in bed at 9 p.m. and just watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, fall asleep. Call, man. That sounds wonderful.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, we'll talk about that more in a second. Is that all you had to add about your week was Captain Marvel?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm just really excited for Game of Thrones tonight as well.
Yeah, me too. I don't think I ever... I can't recall sharing my thoughts on Captain Marvel, but I thought it was pretty good too. I didn't necessarily dislike it. It was a pretty standard, I felt like, as well.
Yeah.
But overall, not bad. Yeah, my week was pretty standard as well. Just went to school, worked a ton, and wrapped that music video I'd mentioned last week. I'm pretty excited for.
Nice.
The band's performance is pretty cool. But I think the narrative stuff we shot is like super gorgeous. And it's all because I finally was able to work with someone other than myself for once, at least on camera. As I've never had someone to pull focus while I'm kind of moving the camera around on a dolly and stuff.
Yeah.
Which has limited my options as far as certain shots. And I had a partner to work with who's super talented with cameras as well. So we kind of tag team shots to make them as pretty as possible. And I think what we got... It's going to look really, really cool when it's done, and I'll probably share that link on our old community page for those of you that are metal fans, because Mirthless is one of the better local Atlanta metal bands. And if you're very much into technical metal, or specifically Veil of Maya is one of their biggest influences, notably old Veil of Maya, then yeah, you may be into them. So I will share that upon its final cut, so I'm excited about that. But other than that, Jacob, just trying to stay afloat, my friend. But on the good side of things, Game of Thrones is indeed premiering tonight. The first episode of the final season, and I just want to go on record as saying that I believe one character of note is going to die this evening.
Already?
Yeah, because they got to start with a bang. I think there's only like 7 or 8 episodes. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think there's 7, I think.
Yeah, so, and I've heard the last few, if not all of them, are all like basically feature length.
Yeah, they're so, like... hour and a half, maybe 2 hours.
Yeah, so we're basically getting like 6 or 7 Game of Thrones films,
yeah,
which is awesome. So I'm pumped for that. But I believe with that, even with them all being, their runtimes being relatively around the feature length, the length of a feature length film, I'm certain that they're going to open with a bang and someone's going to die in this first episode. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know how it's going to happen, but they got to start out with a bang because it is the final season after all. And they got to set the bar high the yeah. first episode.
Do you think it's like towards the end of the episode or like it happens like instantly?
Dude, I'm hoping it's like in the first 15 minutes, honestly.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I don't want any of my favorite characters to die, but we know what's going to happen. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
And I want them to end. I want the writers of this show to stick the landing. I know they've been hit or miss, and some of the people have argued they've been hit or miss in some of the recent seasons, kind of like pushing things along and get to the end. But I'm mm-hmm. hoping they end as impactfully as they did with the first few seasons, especially.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I'm thrilled. And I know we're saying this prior to the episode coming out, and everyone will be listening to this episode after the fact, but that is my one prediction. Someone's dying.
That's a safe prediction.
Yeah. Do you have any specific predictions yourself?
Not really. I mean, what would I predict, you know?
I don't know, man. All I know is that I am just totally thrilled, and it's amazing how back in the day we're like, man, that's like 2 years away, having to wait for the final season, and then being an adult, it just flies by, and now it's here.
Yeah.
So
what do you think?
That's both sad and exciting, unfortunately.
Should we predict like an ending? Like, what do we want to predict? What we think will happen?
Who's taking the throne?
Yeah. If there's just, well, if we had to pick one person, who is it?
I think it will be a Stark, but I don't think it's going to be anyone we expected.
Okay.
I'd like, of course, there's the side of me that wants Jon Snow to take it because I think he deserves it above everyone else. But yeah. Knowing George R. I haven't even read the books, but knowing George R. Martin and even the writers of the show, how they've tweaked things, I highly doubt that's going to be the case.
Yeah. He makes too much sense.
Yeah. I think it would be too disappointing if Cersei wound up on the throne because she's kind of been there, done that already. I wouldn't be into that. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to Daenerys taking it, even if Jon Snow dies.
I don't think she does either.
I mean, I'd be happy with any of the Starks taking it.
I think Daenerys makes a mistake.
I think so.
Costs her life.
Let's hope that Tyrion takes it at the end of the day. He's been through some serious hell himself.
Yeah. I think what I'm most interested in is like the White Walkers. It's like, how are they going to play into all this?
I'm ready for some thrilling battles. I heard one of these episodes has like one of the longest battle sequences ever filmed.
I think I saw that tweet. Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Mm-hmm. So you imagine like it's going to be with all the dragons there too.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. I cannot wait to see that. I'm hoping it tops any movie battle scene like Lord of the Rings, Braveheart, all that stuff. I hope it tops everything we've ever seen. 300. Yeah.
There's some great Lord of the Ring battle scenes.
There are. I mean, and then again, you got to remember the Battle of the Bastards was a phenomenal battle scene too.
Sure.
A season or two ago. Do you think Arya is going to get her vengeance on Cersei?
Yes.
Okay, I certainly hope she does, because I think she deserves it. She's been through a lot of hell, too, and she's a total badass now.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think Sansa plays into all of this? Because she's kind of been beaten around the bush a lot, and I feel like she's sort of begun to take power into her own hands, and how that she and Arya tricked Littlefinger.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering how she can become more of an actual player in all this, rather than just being on the sidelines and just kind of letting people dictate her decisions for her.
And maybe that's what happens. She stops letting people dictate shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. She hasn't done it yet.
I just hope that if I had to pick three people to survive, it'd be Jon Snow, Tyrion, Arya. Those are my top three.
Hmm.
What about you? Granted, I love Jaime too, man. He's had quite the arc.
Yeah,
I kind of hope Jaime just makes it out of everything and just escapes and lives peacefully somewhere until his old age and dies.
Yeah. I enjoyed when Jaime and Tyrion like were together, and I think it was a couple seasons. So I hope, like, I don't know how, but some way they like escape together. That'd be kind of cool. But I guess I'll say who I want to survive, like Daenerys. I'd like to see her on the Iron Throne, I think. She's just a cool, unique character. And like having an Iron Throne ruler with dragons would be cool, but I kind of feel like all the dragons are going to die. I think that's going to be like the result of the war. And I don't even think like the Night Walkers or the White Walkers are going to be defeated. I think they'll just go away. I think something will happen, maybe. Again, yeah. I haven't like read any of the lore, so I don't know what happens. I know the last book isn't written yet, so I guess no one really knows what will happen. But
what's most exciting is that even the book readers don't. I mean, I'm sure they have their ideas and their predictions, but I don't think anyone has any clue. So, yeah. Except for the cast and crew, obviously.
And maybe the books don't even do the same thing.
Maybe not. We don't know. But
I don't know, man.
Freaking stoked, dude.
See, it's only what, 3 hours from now?
Yeah,
a little over
roughly.
Three. It's exciting.
It is very exciting. But Jacob, aside from Game of Thrones, we had quite a thrilling weekend with an abundance of Star Wars news coming out of Star Wars Celebration 2019. And I got to say, my friend, a few things happened that I had a feeling would indeed happen. First and foremost, I was right in believing that J.J. Abrams' cut of the trailer would excite me. It did. Mm-hmm. Because he knows how to cut a mean trailer, to say the least. And Force Awakens did the same thing for me.
Yeah.
And
I liked Force Awakens more, but this was a pretty good trailer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's different from Force Awakens. That was like the big comeback of Star Wars after all that time. And I won't say this trailer was even remotely emotional at all. It just looks really cool.
Yeah.
Whereas even Last Jedi, prior to seeing that movie, I was like, holy crap, I cannot freaking wait to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know how that played out, for me at least. And
for a lot of people.
Yeah. And that's why I'm very interested to see. Now, I have not seen the panel. I've just kind of picked up tidbits here and there on Twitter. over the course of the weekend, but it sounds like they may nonchalantly retcon some of the decisions that were made narratively in The Last Jedi, which I'm not obviously opposed to at all. We know a few years have passed. Rey has clearly been training, I assume, with both Yoda and Luke in their Jedi ghost forms. Yeah. We have Luke's dialogue over the course of the trailer saying, you know, like 1,000 generations live in you and it's all up to you now. Blah, blah, blah. And then we have Rey flipping over TIE fighters, so that's pretty gnarly.
Yeah, I don't know what the point of that scene was.
Yeah, it's interesting because it looks like I've seen some predictions in people that have broken down the trailer. They think that scene where Poe and John Boyega's character again? He's become so irrelevant to me. Finn. And I love John Boyega, man, but he has really been given the shaft in this trilogy so far. So I'm hoping JJ, because obviously JJ had a very significant plan for this trilogy prior to stepping away for Last Jedi. Now that he's come back, I'm hoping that whatever remnants of his story are still there, he can kind of tie them together. Because I've heard not only is this obviously a conclusion to the current trilogy, but a conclusion to the entire 9-film saga overall.
Yep.
So how do you even remotely begin to write a story for that, which is fascinating.
I don't know.
And frankly daunting. And I can see why he was probably reluctant to take it on in the first place, because that's a lot to bear on your shoulders, especially coming off of the divisiveness of The Last Jedi.
Yep.
But I wanted to ask overall what you thought of the trailer and just anything that's kind of sticking out to you story-wise, what you think might be going on. Because obviously that they do a good job of kind of hiding the overall plot of these films, and it's fun to speculate. So I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. So I thought the trailer was good, like I said earlier. I want to ask you, actually, who do you think that person is that Kylo Ren is, like, he like takes his hilt and like his lightsaber's on, he like takes a guy to the ground? Like, who do you think that is? Is that like a Knight of Ren? Is that like just a resistance soldier? Like, could you really make out who that was?
Because I haven't analyzed the trailer enough myself to actually like take a peek, because I'm sure you could grab that frame and then compare it to the images we've seen of the Knights of Ren, which, where the hell have they been all this time?
I know, like that's part of the thing. Like, I want to know who these guys are.
I know, I've been so looking forward to seeing what they're all about. But
do you think we
very
ever
well
get
could
that?
Be?
Like, I mean, what if they just never talk about them again?
I don't know. I'm certain JJ is going to include them somehow, because he mentioned them to begin with, and it'd be so bizarre if we see that shot of them in Force Awakens and Rey's vision, and then just never see anything ever again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
Do you think there'll be any mention of Snoke in this
movie? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he'll be mentioned somehow.
And then do you think he has anything to do with the Emperor at the
possibly
end?
So let's kind of break this down scene by scene from the trailer. First and foremost, Rey flipping over the TIE fighter. People think that's either Kylo Ren's hands in that cockpit, or it's that new character who what's-her-name's playing from the Americans TV show. Phenomenal actress. I really like her a lot. Who's assumed to be Rey's mother, potentially. I don't know.
Oh.
But I think she's a villain, so that could be her flying at Rey. And people think that scene's playing out in the midst of the scene where Finn and Poe are on that speeder, it looks like, with C-3PO, and the stormtroopers are blazing after them in the dunes. Mm-hmm. So they think they've separated in the scene or having like two subsequent battles like that.
Yeah.
And that scene looks awesome, too, by the way. And both, like, I mean, all those shots are just gorgeous, obviously. But the stuff with Rey looks awesome, and even the stuff with Finn and Poe looks really cool. And I love that this is being considered a team up movie where we will see all of them together finally going on an adventure. And in classic Star Wars fashion, I'm sure they'll split up at some point for various reasons, but it's cool to actually see them all in one place focusing on what looks to be a singular goal in this movie, which is exciting.
Yep.
I think the new droid that's described to be sort of like a dog, that's like BB-8's new friend, looks kind of cool. I can't remember the name of it. We see the shot of, I can't remember her name, that black girl who people think is Lando's daughter, potentially. She's in there. Lando himself is in there, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see Lando.
Yeah, and I love that meme. It is like one of the most perfect memes I've ever seen.
Yeah,
that scene,
I know what you're talking about.
Solo. It's like, I'm going to get my ship back one day. He's like, over my dead body, and that's literally what has happened. That is so good. And yeah, I'm pumped to see how that plays out. I'm really excited for that. What else is kind of sticking out? Yeah, the Kylo Ren stuff looks cool when he's in that like blazing forest with the stormtroopers and potentially the Knights of Ren.
Yeah.
I like that someone's putting his helmet back together with a red lining on it. Looks pretty cool.
It looks awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to sell
toys,
obviously.
Is he going to keep his helmet on is the question.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know. But what do you think? I mean, it could mean a million different things. What do you think the title The Rise of Skywalker means? And first of all, do you like that title?
I don't mind it. I don't. A lot of people are like complaining about it. I don't really care that much about what the titles are. I don't really know what it could mean, though. Like, honestly, like The Rise of Skywalker.
Right. People think it could be the rise of. I've heard three predictions that have kind of been most notable across the internet. One being Kylo Ren embracing his Skywalker side. It could be Rey actually being a Skywalker, have something to do with Luke overall. It could have something to do with Anakin overall.
Yeah.
Or it could be the new name for like the new like Legion of Jedi going for, instead of being called Jedi, they're called Skywalkers maybe. I don't know.
Hmm.
I've heard that floating around. Man, I feel like you now. I'm so packed full of pollen. I can't even breathe. It's impossible.
Today has been so bad. I woke up, couldn't breathe.
Sneezed. Yeah, it's been today especially, man. It's hitting me hard.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I don't know what it could mean, but I think the title actually sounds cool. The more I look at it and the more I think about it, I think it's pretty cool. And Jeremy Johns makes a good point. Most of the Star Wars titles are pretty dumb, like Attack of the Clones, The Phantom Menace. I think the coolest ones by far are Revenge of the Sith, Return of the Jedi, The Last Jedi. And I think The Rise of Skywalker is going to grow on me a lot.
I like A New Hope.
A New Hope works too. I think that's like pretty generic, I think, overall.
Sure, but I don't know.
But that one does work, obviously. I mean, like Empire Strikes Back, even though it is my favorite Star Wars movie still, that is kind of a goofy title. But I think The Last Jedi is probably the coolest sounding one to me by far. And Return of the Jedi sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But which is a shame because Last Jedi is my least favorite of the movies, but it has one of the coolest titles by far.
See, I don't know if it's my least favorite. Because I really think that episode one is bad.
It's bad, but obviously I have that serious dose of nostalgia in my heart for them because I grew up on them and can quote them front to back. So that's why I like them more. And even though I can recognize from a filmmaker standpoint, they're pretty terrible. But I still like them more than Last Jedi. And again, I mean, I strongly dislike Last Jedi, but I can watch it and still enjoy the best parts of it easily.
Yeah.
The best parts of Last Jedi. I'm going to rewatch it again before. I'm going to rewatch this whole trilogy before, or Force Awakens and Last Jedi prior to this movie coming out, which is exciting because it's coming out this Christmas, which is going to be here before we know it. So
yeah.
That's cool.
I guess last thing we got to talk about is the Emperor's laugh at the end.
Yeah, Emperor's laugh and the remnants of what I believe to be the second Death Star.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Yeah.
So
why are they going back there, do you think?
Yeah, that's like, a good question. People have been talking about the concept art from Force Awakens where it shows Rey or a female character of sorts, which we assume to be Rey, diving through the remnants of the throne room from one of the Death Stars,
mm-hmm.
which always the imagery of that always really intrigued me. And I think it's cool that we're probably going to be getting that here. And the question is, I mean, J.J. Abrams claims from what I've heard that Emperor Palpatine is in the movie. He has not specifically said whether or not he's a Force ghost or he has cheated death or if he is indeed just like the physical embodiment of Palpatine or if he's a clone or what he may be. And it begs the question, who the hell was Snoke? Was Snoke like some kind of Force projection by Palpatine? Why would he not just use himself? I don't know. Maybe he thought, let's say theoretically that Snoke was purely a creation from Palpatine and he used Snoke as a leader for this emergence of the First Order because maybe he thinks that in his death or his untimely departure, we'll say, that people may have lost faith in him as a leader, like the Empire may have lost faith in him, so he needed a new leader to rise up and lead anew, like the First Order. For example, maybe I think that'd be just kind of convoluted and ridiculous if that was the case.
Yeah.
But regardless of whatever shape or form he's appearing in this movie, I'm just excited that he's back. I think it's cool. I'm a sucker for nostalgia. And JJ is a crowd pleaser, especially. I think that's why Force Awakens was debated to be so much of a ripoff of A New Hope, which I was fine with. It has its own unique elements that makes it different. But I hope I don't think this in any way, shape, or form will be even remotely similar to Return of the Jedi.
But yeah, I don't either. Yeah,
I'm hoping that it pleases the crowd, as in it ties up loose ends that were left either destroyed or open from Last Jedi, and I hope it also ties up the entire saga in a nice bow. And I hope there's that heavy dose of nostalgia that I know he typically brings to this franchise. So now, all that being said, is a lot to ask for, but I have a feeling he's going to deliver on it. And I believe his confidence when he says that he thinks they have something really special in their hands. And if it's even remotely as entertaining as enjoyable as Force Awakens, I think at the end of the day, I'll be happy. That being said, I hope that Kathleen Kennedy and company learn from this trilogy and then going forward, because there will undoubtedly eventually be more Star Wars movies, notably from the Game of Thrones directors and writers. And I think they're just directors. I can't remember. But also, supposedly Rian Johnson's trilogy is still happening. I don't know what that's going to be all about.
Oh boy.
But I just hope that they learn from this trilogy and realize, like, you have got to have some sort of an established game plan before going into this, because it has been an absolute just chaotic mess as amongst the fan base. Nothing's cooled down, obviously, since the debate of Last Jedi and everything, or at least I think so. I haven't really dug into comment sections and everything for these reveals, but I feel like you could really avoid all that if you just have an established game plan. So, yeah.
Well, I don't know. They just seemed like they had a lot of tailing stories that they didn't necessarily want to tell, but they thought was worth mentioning. And I guess people just really wanted to know more about those things. I don't know.
And I hope at the end of the day that Finn gets his moment to shine, because he has not done even anything remotely interesting the entire trilogy. So
well,
I'm hoping
he tried to do something last time, right? Like he was flying that ship into something, right?
Yeah, that was going to be his moment, and Rose freaking ruined
it. Rose. Can't wait to see her back.
Apparently she's back. So exciting.
Maybe Finn saves her now and that's his moment.
Oh, dude. I would love that. I hope they get together.
They probably will.
There has been no romance in this trilogy. People think Poe and Finn are going to be a thing.
Maybe. They do have admiration for one another.
Yeah, it's like having your bro, man.
Yeah, it's like us.
Yeah, it is exactly like us. I can totally understand that. I mean, you and I have fallen into bed nude together by accident a couple times. Be like, oh, sorry, man. Sorry, it was an accident.
Yeah,
blah,
it's just
blah,
an accident.
Blah.
Yeah.
We wind up sleeping together for a few hours in the nude. But I mean, it was a total accident. But I mean, sometimes it happens to bros that are friends like that.
Yeah, sometimes
so
you're
maybe
truly
the same
tired.
Thing will happen to them in this movie.
Right.
So I will say I'm disappointed that Rey does not have a double hilted lightsaber. I was hoping for that for her character.
Why?
Or double bladed, because she had that staff in the beginning.
That's true, I guess. Yeah,
just makes
that could
sense.
Have been cool.
But I guess Luke Skywalker,
I've never like gotten the whole admiration
Luke's lightsaber
of the double
is repaired after being essentially destroyed in Last Jedi.
I guess you're right. Yeah,
so
that could be cool. I've just never been a huge fan of that lightsaber. I like the single hilt.
That's quite all right. Speaking of single hilts, you want to transition into the trailer for Fallen Order?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think?
I think it looks incredible. I wasn't expecting this at all. I guess there was just this idea, or like people were reporting that this was going to be like some sort of micro transaction infused, like multiplayer Star Wars game. And I guess I just kind of bought into the hype. I didn't even consider that it might just be a single player game that everyone was going to really want. And that's what they wanted from, Amy Hennig Studio. What was their name again?
What are you talking about?
What was Amy Hennig's studio called? I forgot.
Oh, Visceral.
Yes, Visceral. That's what we wanted from Visceral, and now we're getting it from Respawn, surprisingly. So I don't know. I just didn't expect for them to be making a strictly single-player game, no microtransactions. It's weird coming from Respawn. I don't think they've ever done something like this, correct?
Right. Aside from, I mean, obviously Titanfall 2's campaign, which is
right.
Gameplay wise is remarkably different from what they're doing with Last Jedi, it seems.
Yeah. It just means like a strictly narrative, like not even
focused
a shooter
game,
I guess.
Yeah. Without multiplayer and everything. And,
cause this team was kind of, or the studio was kind of built upon like, Call of Duty, right?
It was, yeah. Former Call of Duty developers, and, they have continued to shine mechanically. I feel like I've always felt like the best part of their games are just the mechanics are just silky smooth. And obviously we know that through Apex and both Titanfall games. And I think it's easy for me to say that I have the utmost faith in Respawn as a developer. Now, obviously, people are speculating whether or not EA will begin to meddle with this game, but EA seems pretty upfront about the fact that there are no microtransactions, there are no loot boxes, blah, 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 blah. And it is strictly a single-player, narrative-driven, focused gameplay experience. And from what little I've been able to read, it seems that it is focused primarily on just really solid combat, which is exciting, especially, and I'm not saying it's going to be like Sekiro by any means, but just coming off of Sekiro, the satisfaction you can get from a game that is mechanically revolved around just really awesome combat is one thing, but then when you put a lightsaber in your hands, it's a whole nother world.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we haven't seen gameplay yet, though. Just to,
I'm excited.
I haven't seen.
Yeah, I watched a snippet of one interview. I'm talking about like 30 seconds where they say it is not a hack and slash game by any means, which excites me because that's why I never really loved the Force Unleashed games, because all you're doing is just button mashing and killing stormtroopers like cannon fodder the entire time.
Yeah.
So that never really interested me. I wanted something a little more out of that. And that's exactly what it sounds like we're getting out of this, which is now they haven't been too specific yet, but it sounds like it's going to be much more than just button mashing, and there's going to be force powers in the lightsaber itself that are upgraded throughout the course of the story, and you kind of evolve your character. I imagine you can choose between an abundance of force powers to use throughout the game, and how the lightsaber improves. I don't know if it's necessary. Maybe it's the lightsaber itself, because obviously it looks like he's picking up a damaged one in the trailer.
Yeah. I think there's a story behind that lightsaber, and I hope they dive into it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Whether it is the lightsaber itself improving, which I assume it will, but also just lightsaber abilities you're using throughout the game, I would assume is a part of it as well. So that's super cool. And narratively, I think this character Cal looks pretty cool. He looks like a rather generic Jedi Padawan, but at the same time, I think that's what's kind of cool, is because I think he's a relatively unknown actor, and I love how Star Wars always embraces those types of actors. Mm-hmm. So brand new shoes to fill in his story, coming off of Order 66 being obviously one of the few remaining Jedi out there in the galaxy.
Yeah.
And
how do you feel about the what are they, the Inquisitors, the rebel villains I think they're bringing into this?
Oh, it's exciting. I know they had a presence in, I don't know if they had a presence in Clone Wars. I know they had the presence in Star Wars Rebels, which is exciting. But that's pretty cool, because obviously, apart from just wielding a lightsaber and fighting stormtroopers, and I would assume bounty hunters and stuff throughout this game, but also Inquisitors that also wield lightsabers. That's what I'm hoping is. It's one thing to have killer combat against guys wielding blasters, but having like a really kick-ass lightsaber battle that's more than just button mashing sounds incredibly exciting to me.
That's what I've always wanted.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, I have the utmost faith in Respawn to deliver on that. And we know it's happening, one, because of the characters that have already been shown in the trailer, but two, from way back in the day, and that behind the scenes sizzle reel from EA Play, I think it was like two or three E3s ago, they showed that motion capture footage of Respawn capturing two lightsabers clashing.
Yeah.
So we know it's going to happen. We just got to hope and pray, which I think that it's safe to believe in Respawn to deliver on something really special in that regard. It looks like from a shot of the trailer, he runs along a wall and uses like a force pull to pull himself to a ledge, mm-hmm. which I've heard there's a bit of platforming in the game. I've heard there's a bit of environmental puzzle solving, which is cool. It's beginning to sound a lot like Uncharted with a focus on melee combat in the Star Wars universe, which I am totally on board for.
100%.
And I think narratively it weaves perfectly into gameplay, because if you start out one as a Padawan, you're already low powered. But in the lore, and Zach has explained this a lot to me too, just because you're a Jedi, if you're not like a Jedi master, it doesn't automatically mean you can just destroy everyone, which I think is awesome. That's why he's very much living in fear. While, yes, he may understand the Force, yes, he may have some skill with a lightsaber, it doesn't mean he can just take on 100 guys and be fine.
Sure.
So I like that he's sort of in hiding at the beginning of the game. And it seems that he's going to be thrust into this action, whether it's saving his friend that's falling into that, what looks like a Snorlax pit or whatever it's called in the beginning of it.
Is it Thorlax pit?
And he says in the trailer, like, don't pull from within or whatever. Like, he's clearly kind of trying to suppress his need to use the Force in certain situations. Mm-hmm. But I think similar in the sense where I think back in the day when we did our pitch the next Star Wars game, I'd mentioned a story of like a stormtrooper that winds up discovering that he can use the Force accidentally, and he sort of embraces that.
Yeah, this
obviously
could be
this character knows he has this ability, but it almost kind of reminds me of that pitch I had back in the day.
Yeah.
But I think this has always been one of the most interesting time periods by far to me in Star Wars, is in between Revenge of the Sith and New Hope, where the Empire is just beginning to take over. Jedi have gone into hiding, and like all hope very much is lost in this time period. So I think that's so cool. And obviously Palpatine shows up for a split second talking about Order 66. So I'm sure he'll have some sort of presence in the game. We're going across.
Do we see Darth Vader?
I hope so. That'd be cool. Even if it's briefly, I think that'd be cool. Apparently, we're exploring a multitude of both familiar and new planets, which is exciting. I hope it's a bit of a galaxy-trotting adventure for this character.
For sure.
And I hope it's the start to just a really kick-ass franchise for not only Star Wars video games, but Respawn in particular. If they could be more than just a first-person shooter studio, which I think they very much can be.
Yeah. So. Part of me, like, hates it, though, because I want to see more support, like, all hands on board for Apex Legends. But at the same time, I also love this trailer for this new Star Wars game, and it's kind of looking like something I've always wanted. So it's like...
I think Star Wars fans, and both especially Star Wars video game fans, deserve a game of this caliber.
Oh, yeah.
Because Battlefront 1 and 2, while they have their positives, certainly aren't everything we were all hoping for. Certainly. No. And I consider myself a pretty significant Star Wars fan, but neither of those games have drawn me in for more than like several hours. And I don't know why that is, because DICE mechanically is phenomenal and those games are breathtaking visually, but just something about the gameplay experience just isn't doing it for me. And I think, I mean, deep down, my favorite part of Star Wars, beyond everything else I love about it, very much is lightsabers and Jedis and Sith and the dark side and everything. So I think this is like just a match made in heaven with a studio as skilled as Respawn and as passionate. I mean, every studio is passionate about what they do, but Respawn is just on fire right now. And I think with them behind it, EA's funding, which can be obviously sinister at times, but I think with EA seemingly on board for making this just a pure single-player, narrative-driven, awesome Star Wars experience, I think it has the potential to be really amazing, and it's even more exciting considering it's coming out November 15th.
Yeah, I did not expect a release date in the trailer. I don't know why.
Yeah, I knew. We obviously had heard it's coming this year. I bet... even with that release date, something tells me, I know Respawn have said they've worked on this for a while, but something tells me that's even still probably pushing it considering just how late it's coming out in the year. I mean, that's basically the very end of the year for video game releases.
Yeah.
With the exception of the few games that rarely release in December.
So I mean, it's perfect right before the movie.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm sure that's obviously very strategic on Disney's end too, to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the characters from what we've seen, what little we know, look really interesting. And I cannot freaking wait to see it in action. And I can only hope that at E3, which obviously we will see gameplay at E3 this year, is if it's playable at EA Play. Because I know EA isn't necessarily having a conference, but I'm hoping the game itself is playable.
Yeah, you want to get out there and play it.
Yeah, one, I want to play it. But two, I think it's important for media and influencers alike to get their hands on this game and be able to really talk about what it's going to be like, apart from just seeing it in action. Because I think Respawn's games are very much how they feel. It's one thing to see them, because visually, I mean, they're nothing mind-blowing about Respawn games, but mechanically, they have always felt just truly outstanding. So I think it's critical to have people actually get their hands on it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm so excited to see more of it, man. And that's probably what stuck out to me most from the weekend was that trailer. I mean, I'm,
oh, yeah,
of course, relatively excited for episode 9 and see what JJ and company bring to the table with the conclusion to the overall saga. But Fallen Order, as both a Star Wars fan and a video game fan, had me pretty stoked, bruh.
Yeah, man. I completely echo both of your thoughts on both of those trailers.
But lastly... yeah, we saw a glimpse of I haven't been able to watch the panel. I heard the panel is actually awesome, despite the lack of footage that the general public outside of the panel were not able to see.
Yeah, I actually saw a trailer from someone videoing on their phone.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah,
it was just
like a very short scene.
Okay.
Of like him walking in, like the Mandalorian guy, whoever he is, he was walking into a bar, and then like when he walked in, everyone just like shut up, and then he walked to the bar, and then I think it cut black. It wasn't like a whole lot. It was just like several different angles and just like a kind of a tonal scene.
Okay.
But it was cool.
I think everyone involved with this are all brilliant. Obviously, gosh, what are their names? I told you, as soon as the podcast starts, everyone's names are absent from my mind, with the exception of Pedro Pascal, who plays the lead Mandalorian from Game of Thrones, which is exciting. Mandalorian directors. It is Head Honcho's guy's directed a million things. He's directing Lion King, Jungle Book. He's in
Yep.
Avengers. So Dave Filoni's also involved, who helmed Clone Wars and Rebels, which is
John
exciting.
Favreau.
John Favreau, that's his name. I know Taika Waititi's involved. Rick Famuyiwa, who directed, I can't ever pronounce his name correctly, but directed Dope. I hear it's great. Bryce Dallas Howard, which is interesting that she's one of the directors as well. So, I don't know if it's fair to say it concerns me, but what's his name from Parks and Rec? Not Parks and Rec, Arrested Development, who was in Predator guy? Back in the day.
That is...
DeLorean Images Celebration. Carl something, maybe?
Is it Carl Weathers?
I think it is Carl Weathers. It is Carl Weathers.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I don't really buy him in the Star Wars universe. I'm hoping it changes my mind, but... him and that lady from Deadpool, who was one of the villains in Deadpool.
Uh-huh.
I was surprised, and they're not like top tier talent. But I mean, granted, Pedro Pascal isn't like a super celebrity or anything, but he really was impressive, I thought, in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But
I think Carl Weathers fits. I mean, I could see him in Star Wars being all like, I don't know, you know, like what? Dressed in rags.
Yeah, I take back what I said. The image, I think he looks great, and I've always liked him from what little I've seen of him as an actor.
Isn't Happy Gilmore? It's his best role.
Yeah, it is. That is the role of his life, definitely. But now that I'm kind of thinking about it more, I think his presence could be really awesome in this. And just the fact alone that this is a live-action Star Wars TV show, which mm-hmm. seems to have a pretty significant budget, and I think they showed behind the scenes of practical effects they were using for certain ships. This has... just an unbelievable amount of potential to be incredible.
Oh, I hope so.
And the fact that it's about a Mandalorian and just a bounty hunter in general is so cool. I've always been fascinated by Mandalorians. And that was the biggest game I pitched when we did our Star Wars video game pitch, was a bounty hunting game.
Yeah.
So if we can get a TV show that's as exciting as I imagine it's going to be, then we have a lot to look forward to. And Disney Plus, man, is shaping up to be just a killer streaming service.
Yeah, I guess we can kind of move into Disney Plus. It looks incredible, dude. Like, do you see all the stuff they're launching with?
Oh, I know. It's incredible. I mean, who would not sign up for that day one?
I know.
Like, and jump in while you can, because it's going to start out pretty cheap. I think it's $6.99 in the U.S. starting out. So that's, for all that content, that's unbelievable.
And isn't this also coming out in November?
It is. Day one, it'll
November
be
November and December are going to be huge for Disney.
Oh, no, I mean, Disney's basically conquering the world every month of the year at this point, but especially the tail end, they're ending with a very heavy punch with a dose of both Star Wars, Jedi Fallen Order, the game. And think about this, streaming, movies, video games, they are conquering all of the holiday season.
Yep, and Avengers is coming out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so, and I am of the mindset that Avengers will, not drastically, but more than likely... gross more than episode 9.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think so. Which I think is easy, because think about it. It already has way more films than the Star Wars franchise anyway.
Yeah.
And worldwide is, I mean, so does Star Wars, but worldwide Marvel has appealed to the masses. So I think, especially with how this is culminating, and it's interesting how both the first arc, which I think they're calling the Infinity Arc of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is concluding this year, as well as the 9 saga Star Wars series, mm-hmm. or the 9 film saga. So... pretty big conclusive year for Disney. I know we're getting Spider-Man later this year too, but in Marvel, but it's wild.
Yeah, I know they said they were going to take a break from Star Wars after 9.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool if they focused on some of the smaller projects and let Galaxy's Edge. I think Galaxy's Edge opens this year too. Even theme parks.
Yeah, Disney's taking the theme parks. We forgot to talk about that.
Yeah.
Did you see any images?
Very, very little. I saw like snippets from the Millennium Falcon ride, which sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. I saw like apparently Yoda's somehow involved with Galaxy's Edge. I didn't read what it was in particular, but
I don't know if they said. I just think
I like how the co-products are thermal detonators.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool.
They like went into some apps that you can use to like interact with the park, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. I love when you step into Galaxy's Edge. I think this is their intent with it, is that you are truly stepping into an entirely different world. Like you're actually stepping onto that planet. And as long as you're in there, everything you see, touch, smell, feel is all just completely Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. And I think the intention is to make it sort of like a simulated like role-playing experience, especially if you're staying for like multiple days.
Yeah. Kind of like how Disney is already a different kind of world.
It is, very much so, and I feel like this is going to be some of the best, probably the best theme park experience they've offered to date. One, because it is brand new, but also because it's Star Wars. If you're a Star Wars fan, this is probably going to be like the coolest thing ever. And I'm so excited.
Yeah. Also, let's not forget that there are exclusive Coke bottles inside the park.
You're talking about the thermal detonators?
Is that what they're called? Thermal detonators?
Yeah, those little balls.
Oh, there's like different ones. I think there's four or five different ones. Yeah. I don't think they're all little round balls, but yeah.
Okay, I didn't see any of the other ones.
Yeah, I think like Sprite looks different, and then like the Cokes are the little balls.
Oh, cool.
Stuff like that. And then there's like a one for water. But yeah.
Dude, random fact about Coke. People in my life have kind of, I'm not hooked yet, but people have generated interest or placed an interest in me for Diet Coke. And
oh, no.
I'm not drinking it too often, but I've had it a couple times recently only because it's obviously, and it's pure chemicals, but zero calories, zero sugar is appealing because you're kind of getting that same filling semi-Coke taste without all that extra stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love me a good classic bottle of Coke, which I'll always have every now and then. But Diet Coke is sort of an acquired taste like beer, I'd say. Like IPAs took me a while to get used to drinking. And I'd say Diet Coke is kind of the same for me because the first few times I was like, this is truly disgusting. But the more you drink it, the more I'm like, I kind of get what this is all about now.
Yeah. I'm the same way with Diet Mountain Dew.
Okay.
I don't like Diet Coke, but Diet Mountain Dew, I drink. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, Diet Coke's growing on me. I haven't jumped the ship entirely and gone to Coke Zero yet, but I'm dipping my toe in the Diet Coke, and it's not too bad.
Regular Coke just tastes so much better.
It does. It is just packed full of just sugar and carnage, but it is just absolutely exceptional.
I haven't found anything that tastes like soda-wise anything that's better than an ice-cold Coca-Cola. There's nothing better than that first
sip. I second the notion, man. And especially with just a good juicy cheeseburger and some french fries and a Coca-Cola. Okay. That is
or just
a hell
a big
of an American
bowl of popcorn.
Meal right there.
Like,
what's that?
Or just a big bowl of popcorn.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely. Perfect. I mean, Coke can... I think Coke can literally go with anything. I would drink a Coke with pancakes, honestly.
All right, come on now.
No, I'm serious. Like, I think it works with everything.
I mean, it might. I don't know if I'd ever do that.
I wouldn't do that either, but I could easily... have a Coke with just I would draw the line to cereal and milk. Anything with milk or dairy, probably. I mean, with the exception of like cheese and stuff, but milk and Coke don't belong together. But anything else, I can probably do it.
Oh my god!
An Amber Alert?
Yes.
Sorry. Oh man, that was horrifying. The aliens were invading. The end times have come. Is there anything else Star Wars celebration related we've left out?
I don't think so. We got the theme parks, the video game, new movie trailer, Mandalorian, and Disney Plus.
I think we've hit all the marks there. Man, what a time to be a Star Wars fan, as always. But I know I kind of dropped off the bandwagon. Not really the bandwagon, but just dropped off for a little while because Last Jedi bummed me out so much.
Yeah.
But I think Disney's been quiet enough over time. And I still think they're going to be relatively laid back leading up to the release of... Rise of Skywalker. And I think that's good because you don't want to force feed people too much Star Wars. And I think even Mark Hamill has gone on record as saying he also believes in Star Wars fatigue. I wouldn't say I was ever fatigued by Star Wars. I was just severely disappointed. So I'm going to let myself get a little hopeful for Rise of Skywalker because I think JJ knows what he's doing, wrapping this up. So I have faith in JJ and company. So I think it's okay to be excited about it, but I'm also not going to go head over heels pumped for Star Wars in general until we get towards the end of the year, which I think is perfect. Disney Plus, Mandalorian, Fallen Order, and all Rise of Skywalker is all happening at the end of the year. So
yeah,
we got plenty of time to hang back and just speculate up until then, but I'm sure we'll get more news here and there throughout the coming months.
Yeah. Then we got Avengers, in a couple weeks, Lion King over the summer, I think.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man later this year.
Yep. So and speaking of Avengers, you guys can obviously count on us sharing our in-depth thoughts and somewhat of a spoiler review for that, because that's a big deal, that coming out.
I'm not going to be able to go see that with you that Friday.
That's all right.
That's when you guys were talking about going. I have to go see it at night. I might go see it that Thursday if I can find a seat.
Yeah, it's my buddy Evan Mitchell surprised me and bought us tickets for that Thursday night.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm pretty thrilled for that. But I cannot believe how close that movie is, dude. It's unreal.
I know.
But I believe that's going to be episode 200 is when we actually talk about that movie, and hopefully Preston can join us for that, because I'd say 200 is a relatively significant milestone.
Yeah.
So he should probably be here for that one if he can be.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I need to do now is watch Ant-Man and the Wasp, and then I'm caught up.
Oh, yeah. And that's a fun time. That's, again, very much like just another Marvel movie, I'd say, but I was pretty entertained by that.
Yeah.
It also has a significant end credit scene, too, that you need to see.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jacob, I think we are good to jump into community questions, my friend. You want to do this? I actually have to end in 10 minutes, so it's perfect timing.
Perfect. Let's do it.
Cool. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for continuing to write into this podcast week in and week out to spruce up the latter half of each episode, because we love hearing from all of you individually and being able to respond to you directly. It's always so exciting and so dynamic and truly ridiculous a lot of the time. So thank you so much for your continued contribution to the It's Obvious podcast. That being said, if you want your questions read live on the show, you can reach us in one of three places. You can email us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @obvious_gaming, or submit your questions in the Ask IOG section of our Discord channel. Now, all that being said, whatever you send us, always include the hashtag AskIOG so we know that you want your question read live on the show. We don't accidentally read your private messages to the world. All that out of the way, Jacob, let's jump into number one from Mr. Jacob Walters.
Oh.
He writes in with quite a banger here with his opening statement. He says, "Hello, men I touch myself to." Well, Jacob, I touch myself to Jacob on the reg, so that makes two of us, my friend.
That's definitely what I want to hear from a reader writing in.
Yeah. Oh, likewise.
Or a reader, a listener writing in.
Right. This is a sad question. Okay, we're in the future now. It's the last episode of It's Obvious Gaming. What's the topic for this episode? What are you guys saying to us, the community? Oh, God, now I'm sad. Anyways, keep it coming, boys. Happy four-year anniversary. Peace.
I don't want to think about this.
I've actually given this great thought. I don't know exactly what it'll be, because obviously it is inevitable. It is impossible to do this for the rest of our lives. I wouldn't say we even have a date on when it's going to end. I mean, the end is not in mind at all. I don't want anyone to think like, we're considering ending this podcast in the near future. That is not the case at all. We will always do this unless it is literally physically impossible not to do it anymore. We could be 50 years old still doing this for all we know. I have no idea. But that being said, it's hard to say because it really depends on the phase of life we're in. But I think overall, it would be more than just obviously games and everything. It'd be more about just one, the community we've built with you all over the last 4 years is beyond anything we ever expected. And I know, as we all know, the community is still pretty tight knit. It's by no means massive, but it is far beyond anything we ever expected when we first started. And it has been truly just an unbelievable experience and amazing journey getting to know some of you. I know not all of us have like talked in depth about things, but just from what little we've said through comments on YouTube or on Discord, or if we've played games together on PS4, Xbox, or PC, it has been just so much fun. It's been nothing short of a true honor and privilege, and one of the great milestones, I'd say, of our lives, and something I will always hold dear. And I think regardless of whether we ever hit those million subscribers on YouTube or not, I'll probably get some form of an IOG tattoo on my body, because it's been a part of our lives for 4 years, and it's been on my mind daily, literally every day for 4 years. And I know we
I like that idea. It's a tattoo of IOG.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm not even remotely opposed to getting that at some point.
I'd do it.
That'll probably be last day of the podcast I will do that officially. But again, that's by no means anytime soon. But and also be reflective of just how this podcast has impacted our lives, not only the lives of the three of us, but everyone else's lives that have kind of tuned in, how it's affected you differently. Because I know it's definitely had an impact on my life just hearing from you guys. And even through the good times and the rough times all of us have had individually, it's just incredible to me that we've been able to come together and just support each other over the internet. And many of us have never met each other at all in person. So I think that's really special. And I imagine many podcasts can say that, but I'm also certain that many podcasts cannot say that. So I think that's what's really special about It's Obvious Gaming, and you guys. I know it's so easy for us to just say, like, you mean the world to us. But I mean that from the depths of my soul. You guys mean so much to us. And it only pains me more when we either can't deliver on the podcast when we say we're going to or don't live up to all of our promises. I know life gets in the way. We all can understand that. But just know that even when things aren't silky smooth with our content, our flow of content, you still mean the world to us. And your support is just, we can't even begin to describe how thankful we are. So
100%.
It'll very much be extremely reflective, but also just a great time. We'll reflect on like our favorite memories and our best stories and just games at the end of the day, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that's obviously very sad to think about, but it's by no means, it's not anytime soon, so don't worry, but fun to speculate on, I guess. But Jacob, thank you for your sad question. We appreciate it. And thank you for touching yourself to us. Enjoy. Fribes writes in and says,
"It was a good touch and not like a mediocre."
Oh yeah, certainly. I hope it was wonderful. I assume it was, especially if you're thinking about Jacob, man. My goodness. Fribes writes in and says, "Here's a dense one, maybe. Has Assassin's Creed as a franchise gone too far? I think it was concepted as something entirely different than it's ended up. Playing through the Altair and Ezio games was certainly a treat, but then they seem to go the route of Kingdom Hearts. Don't tie up loose ends, address these questions later. The series as a whole now seems to be more of an excuse for Ubisoft to try out different time periods, locations, and character archetypes against the backgrounds of famous world events and stories instead of telling a contained, compelling storyline by means of fun, manageable action-adventure experience. I don't know. I remember loving the first ones, and now I'm just tired. I haven't played any since Black Flag. And I know that there are others who share my thoughts. Do y'all think that it will be developed indefinitely, or do you think that it's about to stagnate? This is a big thought vomit here, but I just kind of want the series to die at this point. Oops. I'm of two mindsets here. I'm also tired of it, but not because it's just Assassin's Creed. I think it's just because, even though I think they are really well developed, having played just a mere chunk of both Origins and what's the one that just came out in Greece? Can't remember the title.
That's Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Odyssey, yeah. I think in their own right, they're really well developed action adventure open world games. But
sure, but what's the stopping them from just making a game in Egypt or a game in Greece that's just completely different, has nothing to do with Assassin's Creed?
Right. You know? It's. I mean, I think at the end of the day, with these companies, creatively is at the bottom of the list, unfortunately. I think it's always about the business, and as long as these games continue to sell well, and especially they continue to review, especially Origins and Odyssey have reviewed extremely well, they're going to be continue to making them exactly like that. And as soon as the reviews begin to dwindle again, as they did with Unity and Syndicate, that's when it'll change again, I assume. But while I do think they are very well developed, they don't interest me at all, because I've just been there and done that with so many other open world games. And open world games in general begin to kind of bore me a bit. And that's because none of them have done anything necessarily unique. And that's why I'm hoping Days Gone, even based on some of the hands-on impressions, seem to be doing things a little differently, not only with the horde of freakers, but also with the survival aspects. So I'm hoping Days Gone is sort of a somewhat fresh spin on the open world action experience. But I see what you're saying about Assassin's Creed. I much preferred, I'd say Odyssey is very much a spiritual, all of us have said this at this point, a spiritual successor to Black Flag in many ways, but it didn't grab me enough for me to want to take time out of my busy schedule to continue playing it. Now, granted, I can't do that with any game right now, but Assassin's Creed Odyssey is not one I jump to if I had the time to play games right now.
Yeah, I love this question, because I was literally thinking about it a couple weeks ago, like, because I was thinking about how I haven't played a Creed game since Unity. And I was like, why is that? And I just started to realize, like, the game started out, like, with a single, you know, protagonist. He was only in one game, right? Altair?
He was in, one.
Okay, he was in the first Assassin's Creed. Then they, like, transitioned to Ezio. I think it would have been much cooler to see, like, just the franchise end there. I know, like, that doesn't make sense for Ubisoft in any way possible because of how well those games sold. But I just wish, like, instead of them making Assassin's Creed Black Flag, I wish I had just a whole trilogy of really cool pirate games that were just had nothing to do with the Assassins, you know, just like they focused on making a really cool pirate story, which we still haven't seen, by the way, besides, like, I guess that game. There hasn't been a cool, like, narrative pirate game that, like, Sea of Thieves focuses on, like, you know, cooperative play through, like, you know, whatever, just being a pirate. And then, like, that's the Skull and Bones games is coming out, which is also by Ubisoft, but it's more of just like a ship battling simulator, looks like. So I'm still kind of waiting for my pirate, you know, fascination. Is that the right word? Fantasies to be realized. But yeah, just, I realize. I appreciate Assassin's Creed for, like, all the different areas that it goes to, because it gives us, you know, a sort of an insight to what those worlds were like, or those times were like, where we don't really have that kind of interactive experience, you know, just by watching a movie or something like that. But I also just wish there were cool, unique stories that had nothing to do with the franchise, because it doesn't really do anything for me anymore.
I understand that. I assume they're going to continue making Assassin's Creed games the way they have been until, like I said, reviews begin to stagnate a bit. But I'm also very excited to see what their take on a Viking / Norse mythology type Assassin's Creed would be like, and how that would be different from God of War. Obviously different in many ways, but just at least visually how that would differ from God of War, for example. But I think that sounds cool. I can already imagine sailing around in a Viking, like in between giant mountains and everything, is like a Viking assassin.
Yeah.
And having like a big, I know you can have a battle axe and even Odyssey as a weapon, but just like a battle axe and like maybe heavy armor this time around would be really cool.
Yeah.
Granted, you can have heavy armor in Odyssey too, I think.
But I mean, I'd rather just have God of War too.
Yeah. Regardless, the snowy Viking setting, I think already sounds cool for Assassin's Creed in an open world setting. But as I said, I'm kind of over the open world thing for a while. I think that's why especially Fallen Order has me excited, because I've recently been very much in the mood for single player experiences. Granted, I don't have time to play them, but I've certainly been in the mood for them. But I see where you're coming from, Fribes, and I don't hope that it dies, but I would certainly hope that in time it evolves somehow. But they've always been, at the end of the day, and one way or another, open world action games. So that's probably what it's always going to be. So I don't know exactly what they could do to really spruce them up beyond that.
The biggest disappointment for me with that franchise is Abstergo. That whole, you know, real-time, like, reality thing that's in that game. I think it's so stupid.
Yeah, it's been stupid, like, for a long time. It's been old since the second game, I think.
Yeah, that's why this, like, whole thing doesn't make sense. They, like, just changed, because it had, like, it meant a lot back when Desmond was around. But ever since then, it's just like it's just there for some reason. Like, I don't even know why they use it anymore. I don't get it.
Yeah, I think most people have been over it for a while.
Yeah, just, oh my God, I don't even want to get into it.
I feel you. I'm going to do two more quick ones because I got to go very soon. But Kyle, forgive me, dude. I effed up again and forgot to read your question before we talked about the topic. But I promise I will not let that happen again. I even told Jacob, I was like, I was like, I've got to read Kyle's question before we talk about Fallen Order. But I totally forgot again. But I'm going to read it anyway because I don't want to leave you hanging. But Kyle wrote in and says, well, boys, a teaser poster dropped for Jedi Fallen Order. With the absolutely horrendous track list of EA shenanigans with the Star Wars IP so far, I can say I'm cautiously optimistic about it, even with the Respawn at the helm. My question is, what would you like to see from Respawn, and what way would you like EA to stay the F away from the title? Microtransactions, DLC, etc. I think a combat game with something along the lines of a Sekiro system would be pretty cool for lightsaber on lightsaber action. Also, I'm proud to say, as the anime ambassador, that the cult is growing in power. Expect someone within a few days to visit your residence for your mandatory shield hero viewings. I'm going to get to that. I'm almost through... what's it called? Death, Love, and Robots. Love, Death, and Robots. Which, some of those shorts are truly ridiculous, like in a bad way. I'm like, why does this even exist? Like, some of them are so bad. Now, visually, they're all really cool. But a lot of the shorts are just terrible. But I'm probably going to jump into either Shield Hero or that other one you've been mentioning next. I'm kind of in the mood for an anime, so I'll probably jump into one of those. But forgive us for not reading your question prior to talking about Fallen Order, because I feel like we covered all that. But thank you for writing in nonetheless, my friend. Forgive me for letting you down. But Jacob, on second thought, I'm going to save the other two for next week. I've got to go, unfortunately. But that was episode 198. I had a blast, my friend.
Yeah, had a really good time talking about Star Wars. Haven't really talked about it this week, so it's good to share some thoughts, get our minds racing about what we want from Star Wars.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, thank you all for tuning in and writing in community questions. And thank you in advance for any comments we may or not receive on Discord. I haven't uploaded the last two episodes to YouTube, one because it is actually, believe it or not, time consuming for me to edit even a YouTube video these days, or at least the podcast. And plus, they didn't have video anyway. So maybe I'll just upload the video versions from now on. Unless people on YouTube only listen on YouTube, I'll upload the episodes. But let me know. Regardless, we cannot thank you guys enough for tuning in. This has been episode 198. Please subscribe and rate us on iTunes / Apple Podcast if you're willing. It helps us grow. And of course, this podcast is available on Spotify, Google Play, and other services out there in the world. And we look forward to hearing from you guys. We love you to bits, and we will catch you again very soon.
See you next week.